Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut the shenanigans, people. We here.
Let's do it.
What's
going on, West Coast?
In the house.
So we do cover the whole. Yes, indeed. Cover New York, California.
It's good times, as always. Again, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man. Our guy's on, we have to show him some love. I don't know if we got a chance to call into his show, too, so we'll give him a quick shout-out, too, as well. Our guy from Jersey, as always, a lot of love for him, so we'll get him a quick introduction as well. We're not doing Zoom. I'm going to blame JQ because he didn't want to be on the camera, but totally joking. Again, welcome. I'm just messing with you, bro. I'm just messing with you. You know,
I know.
You. So, again.
JQ must be having a bad hair day.
Oh, man. We're going to get this party started. A lot of things happening, but, again, we are ready to roll. Season 6, episode 161 is officially kicking off, as always. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, bro?
I'm good. I said, hey, man, if I had an opportunity to have a bad hair day, I'd take it. I ain't had a bad hair day since, like, 1998 when I cut it all off, so... I don't have those kind of worries, but I'm good, man.
I hear you, my brother. I hear you.
Right. I'm good, man. Like I said, I got some golf in today. I was terrible for the front nine. I was better on the back nine, and ready to talk some sports, man.
That's how you make it do what it do.
Hey, got to be able to recover.
JQ has checked in. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Feeling great, man. As I was saying earlier, I got the 5K in this morning. Got a serious sweat in. And when I tell you serious, it was nonstop dripping off my face. So, hey, you know, coming off vacation, now I'm back to eating healthy, man. Eating, had some nice shrimp and some asparagus tonight. So, back to the diet.
There it is.
Dude, I mean, how much asparagus you got in your freezer? Good Lord.
Hey, man.
Good guy.
You know, when you, on a diet plan, man, it's... asparagus is like a diuretic, man. It helps you. It helps you to keep that weight down. It makes the pee stink, too.
Oh, my God. That's definitely part of the thing. And I think, is it you and Gina's anniversary, man? Shout out to Rob and his lovely bride, Gina. Was it the anniversary? Was it the week, or was it this week, or was it last week, Rob? Or what's happening? No, you've been doing, like, some little traveling there.
It was Monday, so, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Congratulations, man, again.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Curtis.
How many years?
Curtis and, go ahead.
7 years.
7 years. All right. That's what's
nice. There it is, man. There it is. Curtis, Gary, how you guys doing?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We're doing good. I got, you know, I've got my sidekick by me, of course. I think you guys didn't want to do Zoom because you saw our ugly asses on it. And, you know, decided that's enough of that crap, right?
Oh,
we got kind of a treat tonight on our show. We've got some S&M going on our show. Isn't that, you know, you guys are into S&M. We got Sherry and Mike on our show, and they decided to come over and set in and listen in and put their two sits in. They're diehard NBA fans, diehard NFL fans, both they're season tickets holders for the Raiders, the Cowboys. They're longtime season ticket holders for the Oregon Ducks. they know their sports, and so we're gonna have them put their two cents in tonight too, if that's okay.
Mike and Sherry, I just tease a little bit, but Yeah, welcome. Thank you. We're glad you all can join us tonight. And love to hear from you all.
Lynn,
yeah,
this
is
kind of making me wish I
would have
done the Zoom too.
Yeah,
go ahead. You guys messed us up.
Yeah, because you had a bad hair day.
Yeah, well, Gary came over to my house today with a razor and shave butter and sat me down in a chair in the sun and went to work on my head and my face because I was looking horribly, which I do a lot of times when I stay home. And he got me ready, and I went to Fantastic on Monday, and I picked up a Cowboy jersey. Our two fans have Cowboy jerseys on, and Gary...
Man, why are you wasting money, man?
Yeah, well... don't come over now, love. It's dangerous over here now for you. Why did you have to do that?
That's some expensive toilet paper there.
Well,
oh, my God.
You know what?
Shit.
In our room, when we were doing our thing, Gary pulled up. How many NFL players or how many Hall of Famers are in the Hall of Fame? The two top teams in college that are Hall of Famers are USC and Notre Dame. Illinois has more Hall of Famers in the Hall of Fame at a college than LSU.
Well, I'm sure that won't last too much longer,
So tuck your tail and run today. LSU is done. Yeah.
I guess I better be a Bengals fan. I got to root for Joe Burrow now. Shot just for that, JQ.
He hasn't even thrown a pass yet.
Joe Burrow's an Ohio State graduate, though, so I'm always claiming that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's the LSU then in the book.
That's okay. Where's his degree from? It's from The Ohio State University. So that's all good.
Football wise, LSU. We get the credit.
Yeah, no, we just trained him up for you. It's all good.
This is crazy.
Well, you guys, I'd like to have Sherry tell you a little bit about what a fan she is. She is a fanatic sports fan. So, without further ado, are you ready?
Come on over.
Okay, she's gonna come on over and sit next to me.
Now
she's gonna.
Now
hopefully you guys are okay with that.
Now Gary, I will say I did set up the Zoom just in case. So if you still want to do the Zoom, you guys do have that opportunity. Just to let you guys know, that's already set up same as last time. If you want, we can always join that. Definitely no pressure. That's always ready to roll. No pressure. Again, I'm just saying that is ready to roll if needed too. So
how about we just resume the Zoom on next Wednesday?
I'm here too,
it's
guys.
On.
All right. So
it's up.
Let's do this. Sherry, okay, Sherry, you're on. What do you got?
Okay, so I just got a little wrap here from the big downtown of Fairview, Oregon. I just want to go out and say my name is Blazer fan Sherry, and I'm here to say I'm the biggest Blazer fan in the USA. See my ankle tattoo and my Blazer ring. I even had a red and black Blazer wedding. I was at the title game in 77. Man, oh man, it was Rip City heaven. I've seen the Blazers play from coast to coast. I'm Blazer fan Sherry. I'm the fan with the most.
Thank you, man. You got some old Blazer fans on your ass.
Hey. Oh, my
oh, good.
Hey. Oh, my God.
So,
JQ,
you know,
you
we were
JQ is a Laker fan. He in trouble now. He got more Blazers fans on that.
Okay.
We were talking about Melissa, remember, for so long. I met Sherry and Mike on the walk the other day. They were all, you know, geared up in their NFL gear and was talking with them. This is the number one Blazer fan right here sitting next to us. Dallas Cowboy fan, the same thing. Voted by John Amazzano on
radio.
On the radio station up here for Portland as number one
female sports fan.
Number one female sports fan. So, I mean, this is a fanatic
what?
Here. Yeah, she knows her stuff.
Wow. I don't even know how that's even possible, man. Oh, my goodness. That. There's no word. There's no word. Man, Sherry, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Oh,
it was my pleasure.
Oh,
now, as she was doing this, she's even got props. She's got a number one Blazer fan. She's got the album from the 77 Blazer Mania album. She's got Sean Lee, our sports commentator at the time. She's
this
got
was
the
that wedding that was featured on the front page of the day of our wedding.
Front page of the day in the Oregonian day of the wedding.
Sports page.
She's on the front page of the sports page for her wedding.
Wow.
This is a huge fan.
And then a map of where we've seen the Blazers play all across the
country. Oh yeah, she's got a map here that's pretty much dotted with every place the Blazers have played, really. It's incredible. So she's not only a diehard Blazers fan, but my heart, true and true, she's a diehard Cowboy fan. But once I had
ticket
holder.
And she's season ticket holder.
Ticket holder for the Cowboys.
For the Cowboys and the Raiders.
Wow. Ball out there.
Yeah, man. Crazy, huh?
That's a lot of pain right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of enjoyment over the years.
That's cash money.
Yeah,
cash
let's see.
Money.
The Raiders have got, what, 3? The Cowboys have got 5, and... You know, there are some teams down there that have just got one. That's true pain.
At least our one is not 30 years ago.
That's true pain. To just have one, to know that you may never do it again, is just really...
Trash talk is good for the soul.
But one thing I wanted to ask, because we've talked about Portland and potential of Major League Baseball here, and so we're going to ask Sherry and Mike both if they think that this city is a city that can handle the would really wrap their arms around another sports franchise. So without further ado, go ahead. What's your take on
that? Sure. I definitely think that Portland could definitely support a Major League Baseball team. I think right now with the backers that they have, especially with the former play-by-play, Mike Ferret being at the front of that, a lot of people know him locally. I think that that's a good sign as far as being able to have somebody support or know somebody that's in the organization that they can support. So I think that's a good thing by having Mike Ferret out in front of that. He's still, in amongst the game as far as with the Blazers. They just did their 50-year reunion. They brought him back. John Canzano has had him on his show. And just keeping that out there, I think that's really good. I think Portland needs another professional base, just another professional team in general. I think we're so hungry. Look at what happened with the Timbers, and what do they have, a 6-year wait list right now just to be able to get tickets for the Portland Timbers soccer? So we need, as a community, we need something else to cheer about. So if you have the Blazers, you have the Timbers, and then you have a baseball team, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Are people aware of the Timbers?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not trying to knock MLS soccer. I mean, I like it, but, they're kind of like, the lonely guy on the totem pole when it comes to, professional teams, probably in that area.
Nope. Not at all in Portland. Portland is huge. We have a huge soccer base. We have a large Hispanic community. Amongst all different communities throughout the Portland metro area and even on the outskirts, especially down in Salem. I think that it would be, MLS is great. I said, I believe last time I was talking with a peer of mine, she's a season ticket holder, and I think there's a 6-year wait list. 6 years to wait just to be able to get tickets to go to a soccer game.
do you think they're going to play this season?
Well, they're opening up. So
the women are going to play. They're going to play in Salt Lake, I think late June.
Late June.
Women are going to play. They're going to play at Ryder Cup tournament. But we also have her husband.
Mike, go ahead. What's your take on it?
For baseball, I would hope we could support it. It would always be supported at the beginning, but after kind of the newness wears off, and
right.
during the week games is always kind of hard to fill.
Especially out there.
I know other teams, they do it, and they make it without having anywhere close to full stadiums during the week. So if that can happen, if it's feasible to do it financially, with not having full stadiums during the week, during the day, then we should be able to support it.
When do you think they'll
I
have
could definitely,
spot?
You know, someone who studies markets quite a bit, I could definitely see Portland being that type of market that could support another professional franchise, definitely particularly baseball. Obviously, we got a little ways to go before we get out of this pandemic, before there's any kind of talk about adding franchises in sports right now.
Right.
You know, I think once we're out of this pandemic a few years from now, and, you know, we start to get full stadiums again at sporting events and things of that nature, I could definitely see when Major League Baseball looks to expand that we could possibly see a team in, like, Portland or maybe a Nashville or something like that, a growing market kind of place. And another underrated market, too. I know there's teams in Houston and Dallas already, but Austin will be another very underrated market for professional baseball.
Well, they got competition with, Houston and Texas, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of tight. They're so close. But it's, it's still one of the fastest-growing markets in the country right now, too.
And that's a cool city.
You got three NBA teams, that are fairly close. So, it's a possibility.
True.
But I think Nashville and Portland would get one over Austin as of right now, though. But.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Jerry Jones wants Austin to have anything, because that's not a bad drive from Austin to Dallas.
Yeah, I don't foresee Austin getting the NFL team. But, if anything, they will probably be in the running for maybe a long shot for baseball in the future. But we got some exciting topics we got to get to. I don't know if Andre want to kick those off.
Yes, let's do that. And thanks for allowing us to bring on our special guest tonight. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate it. And hopefully you all enjoy it. Spending some time. So we clown a little bit, but we do it out of fun and talk sports.
See what you want my show.
Plug your show one more time.
All right. The Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturdays from 5 to 7. That's East Coast time, by the way. The number to call is 512-543-4662. That number again, 512-543-4662. And just because that we don't have any really live sports to talk about much, we still have a lot to talk about in the sports world. So catch me if you can.
All right, appreciate that.
Show. We love it as always, too, checking into. And like I said, life has been interesting as it is, and we've been able to, like you said, talk about a lot of topics that have happened from the week. Obviously, we were talking a lot about The Last Dance, and it's good to have, this kind
yes.
of avenue to definitely, again, to just talk about a lot of topics and whatnot, too. So, again, we appreciate you guys joining in. Mike and Sherry, thanks for hanging out, as always. And obviously, you're welcome to stay, too. We're just going to kick this off, as we always do. We do have a lot of good topics to get into. For us, our show, we always plug that number. Always call in the show, always show us love. It's the same number as always. It's the same 424-243-9519. Again, I got to encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then go to Facebook. We got a Facebook page set up. Rob has posted his first 2020 NBA mock draft. We're going to get details about that. Again, I don't hope that the Warriors get the first pick because I want my boy going to Atlanta, but all good. But again, go to the Facebook page, which is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We'll find that as well. and just a lot of things to talk about. And let's get into this, guys and gals. Let's talk about, first topic, James Harden. He had a drastic weight loss. So this is a question that we're going to throw out. And, again, I want everyone to kind of chime in. Is this going to help him when he's returned? Is it going to hurt him? Because, again, we're going to talk about this. He looks like he's on a mission. Maybe he's definitely been inspired by The Last Dance. And there's been some questions about his game. So where is this going to be? So I'm going to let Rob lead it off. Go around the room, JQ, West Coast, give us your thoughts. And we'll let Rob talk about the mock draft as well a little later, too. So go ahead, Rob. Let's kick it off, man.
Well, I definitely think in the long run it should help him. I think probably he could probably even add some years over to his career, too. As long as he don't lose any of his strength. And obviously he's quick. He should be quicker now with the weight. And probably even help him in the playoffs. If you notice, James Harden over the years, you know, had these incredible regular seasons. And then when he gets to the playoffs, he's non-existent. So hopefully you have to think this should help him long-term for, you know, longevity of his career. I think if he can stay at a reduced weight, I think it's going to really just help him for the long-term. You know, I don't know, you know, how these teams are going to come back. It's looking very likely that the NBA will be returning in July. What the format is going to be, they're throwing up a lot of different scenarios here. So I'm not sure what Houston, you know, if they're a contender. I'm going to say they're not. But I think long-term-wise, for his personal career, I think the weight loss should help him.
Yeah, you took what I was going to say. I was like, maybe he was doing that so he could have some longevity because the playoffs, he's been running out of gas and he's a little heavier. So I'm with you. And he might have just went a little bit on the other side of it and says, you know what you're not going to talk about me is coming back in here to play and being overweight and look like I've been eating bonbons, you know, and Zingers and Hostess cupcakes all during the quarantine. So he said, I'm coming in the best shape I can be. And it might have just shocked a couple folks with his weight loss. But I'm with you, Rob. It as long as he keeps some of his strength, but let's be honest, he's not really somebody that's going to be in the post banging. You know, he's going to get some long rebounds with Big Karim. He's not going to be down there boxing anybody out or anything like that. He's out there, you know, to dribble, 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 shoot, like Charles Barkley likes to say, and get that offense going for Houston. So if he can keep his energy up with that reduced weight loss and keep, you know, so it gives him a little bit more productivity as the playoffs go on, then I think it's a good thing for him. But we'll see how that works out. But, I mean, I applaud him for saying, you know, I'm going to do the best I can do with my body during this quarantine and come back in the best shape I can be.
Man, after eating asparagus for lunch and dinner tonight, now you got me wanting some Zingers, man. Why you had to do that to me?
Sorry, man. That was like the first three snacks that came to my head when I said that.
I love those things, too.
Oh, I love them. Feel that topping off of it, eat it first? Come on, man. Listen, I love Zingers since like the fourth
like
grade,
a little
bro.
Kid.
You're right.
Well, the one thing I would say on that, on Harden is, why wasn't this his approach all along? Why wasn't he taking care of himself, keeping his weight down, being the best he can be all along? I say just quit your diet. It's not going to make you shoot a better percentage. You're not going to go that far in the playoffs anyway. You might as well just eat your Zingers and have a good career.
Well, you guys know that I think Harden is hard to watch. I have a hard time watching Harden. I always have, and I don't believe in them. But one thing I want to say, because of this pandemic, if the guy in L.A., Kawhi still needs, man, if Kawhi still needs what is that he's doing, he has to be off because he needs rest or whatever. If he comes back and he needs rest, I'm going to be done with Kawhi. I really am. A young man that should be in, I remember when we were young people, how much shape we were in, and we weren't professional athletes. I would think you would be in some shape.
Yeah.
And this guy wants to do some maintenance or whatever when they come back. That's going to be hard to hear.
It really is.
That's a good point, Curtis.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a thing because they're not going to probably get more than a couple weeks before they head into the playoffs. So, if anything, his knee should be fully rested. I don't think anybody's trying to hear that at this point.
So that's the question too. So I guess, so if everything goes down, should the NBA championship, guys, in your opinion, should the NBA champion this season, excuse me, have an asterisk, if you will? So I'm going to kind of reverse the role, go back West Coast and back around to Rob. So do you think that should be something to be considered? Because even from the Blazers, there was a note, there was an actual report that Damian Lillard was talking about not playing if they didn't have an opportunity to, if they weren't even, like, you know, going to even get there. So your thoughts about that?
Well, my thoughts about that, first of all, I'm going to send this right over to Sherry and give her an opportunity. Sherry, what's your thoughts on it?
You're fine. So, first of all, let's clarify. It's not the Blazers. It was Damian Lillard who made his comment. So let's just go there first. I agree with Damian from the standpoint, if we have nothing to play for, then what's the point of playing? However, it is now June. We should be watching the finals right now. What is the point of overlapping with college football and NFL preseason coming up? What is the point of overlapping that with NFL, where we can just try to get on track? I don't want the Lakers to win. I don't think they should be automatically crowned.
I just think
that there is too much. There's too much downside. People can get hurt. People are not going to be in shape. Great for James Harden, whatever he's doing. Good for him. He's not going to last. Not going to happen. I just think that there's no upside of doing this in late June or starting in July. I just don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to just sequester a whole bunch of people in Orlando and maybe play for 2 weeks in a round robin type tournament and play to get in, running the risk of injured players. And then, so what happens? We play in July, then when does 2020 and the 2021 season start?
After Christmas.
The target will be to start the next season in December right now.
Right, but I'm just saying, for what purpose?
So they don't run into the NFL season.
But it doesn't make any
That's
sense.
That's correct.
You are going to run into the NFL season because you've already got the Super Bowl pushed out to middle of February because you have the regular season going into the end, going into January. What's the point?
Well, I mean, when we get to see the NFL takes that Christmas game and they start their season on a Christmas game, football be in the playoffs to a eventual Super Bowl. So we can see the end of the football season.
Well, okay, so here's the main thing. We didn't even finish any of the Power Five collegiate conference tournament. We didn't even start the March Madness. Why do we care about the NBA at this point? Let everybody social distance, write the 2019-2020 season off. We'll start back up 2020-2021 and go from there.
No.
Yes.
No. As a resident Lakers fan on this show, man, this might be the last time, one of the last few good chances that LeBron has a chance for the Lakers to get one. Listen, they're going to play this season. They don't want to have a season where they don't crown a champion. And I get what you're saying, and I'm totally against that play-in because anybody that can get hot in 2 weeks that wasn't playing worth a damn before the season starts, to me, that further illegitimizes the season. I'd rather have it be
a couple of weeks, and you play it.
But no, that tournament, you know, where somebody can get hot like it's the March Madness, this is not March Madness. These dudes played 60-something games,
it.
I think, or close to 60 games in the season. Don't you know, get rid of all that just to try to conjure up some fans and whatnot. So for that piece of what you're talking about, I am definitely with. But if you're the NBA, you don't want to have a season, you look back on the history books, where you don't have a champion where nobody played. And to the other piece is, before this pandemic even hit, they were already talking about moving the season to start on Christmas Day so they don't have to be caught up in, you know, not meaningless games, but games where people aren't as excited about in November when you have the NFL season at full throat. If you do it towards Christmas, now you're in like week 15, 16, 17, in that time frame, you head into the playoffs, and you pull down the number of teams who are playing in the NFL into the playoffs going towards the Super Bowl run, and you have a little bit less competition for airtime if you're the NBA. So I get that. I got that when they said that from the get-go. You're still going to overlap some with the NFL season, but you don't want to overlap it going into week 11 and 12 where they're driving to the playoffs and all the interest is on the NFL with the drive to the playoffs. You want to have it be where you kind of know where most of the teams are already going to be in the playoffs in the NFL. You're going to have a couple spots still be open. Don't get me wrong. But you want to get on that tail end of that for the NBA and get more interest in your sport. So I get that. I'm not necessarily with Lillard. I think he's been campaigning all along because he feels like he had a chance to get his team into that A spot and then everything shut down. So he doesn't want to just go out there and say, we're rolling the ball out there, but for all intents and purposes, you know, it's already said and done who are the top 18. So I think it would be a little selfish of him to do that, but I get his point to an extent.
Yeah, I'm with JQ on this one. I totally agree, and for multiple reasons. I'm not a Laker fan by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't go without not crowning the champion this year. And you got a lot of guys' legacy that's on the line here. LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Antetokounmpo. So this is a part, whoever wins this title, this is a part of their legacy here. And those guys not having that opportunity definitely wouldn't be fair. It goes against the integrity of the game, not for us not to crown a champion this year. Even if that means if the Lakers win, a team who I'm not a fan of,
but I'm a sports fan,
I'm a basketball fan. So I want to see a champion be crowned. And like I said, you got guys' legacies that are on the line here. And so from an NBA perspective, you want to protect that integrity. You want to finish this season, and you want to crown a champion. And, you know, those teams battling for those last seventh and eighth spots in the East and in the Western Conference, I don't mind seeing a play-in for those last couple of spots. And I'll tell you why. Some teams are automatically Golden State, Cleveland, Atlanta. Those teams are already eliminated. They're not going to go to the playoffs. But, I mean, even from my Pelicans standpoint, the Pelicans were playing their best basketball before this pandemic, making a run possibly for the eighth spot. And their remaining schedule was the easiest. They had pretty much already played the toughest part of their schedule. So for them not having an opportunity to play for that last eight spot, I think that's probably the fairest thing to do is to kind of have a play-in for those last spots for the teams that were still in contention. If we can't finish the whole regular season, that's probably the next best option for us to do is to have a play-in tournament for those teams that were still in contention for those last few spots in both the East and West Conference. So I don't have a problem with that either. If that's the route they take, if we can. Obviously, I would prefer they just continue the season and play the rest of the regular season games. That would be, to me, would still be the way I would want to see it done. But I don't have a problem if they go with the play-in route because, like I said, some of those teams, and actually Portland, it helps them because Damian Lillard was hurt. And now he's coming back healthy, and they could be in a play-in tournament too. They wouldn't have had him available down the stretch and toward the latter part of the season here. So it kind of helps them. And the next thing is I don't think whoever wins will have an asterisk next to it. I don't think you can blame the team who wins the championship. It's not their fault that we had to go into a pandemic. So I don't think it would be fair for us to put an asterisk next to whoever wins the title this year. Like I said, to that team, it would not be fair to blame them for the pandemic. So I don't think it would be fair to put an asterisk next to it either.
And I would not. I wouldn't blame any of the teams except the Lakers.
See?
You know, if the Lakers won, I would blame the Lakers. No, but would you be less of an NFL fan? Would you be less of an NFL fan if they, you know, if they said, you know what, there's uptick in all these states that are at different levels of what they're doing in their states, they're bringing their states back to some sense of normalcy. So with that said, would you be less of an NFL fan if they said, you know what, I don't think it's a good idea for us to do this. I don't want to put our players at risk, and I don't want to put our players' families at risk for this. So we're going to forget this NBA season. We're going to take it up next year. I personally think that would be the smartest thing to do. And I don't, for me personally, I wouldn't be any less of an NBA fan if they did that. As a matter of fact, I would think, wow, they've got some balls. This is really smart.
Well, I think the NBA is taking every precaution as possible. And let's keep in mind, the NBA was the first sports league in America to cancel or postpone their games. They did it before NCAA March Madness. They did it before anyone else did. So they were the first. So I think safety, they're looking at every avenue when it comes to safety here. And they're looking for the best way to finish these games where it's not going to harm. I mean, we're talking about no fans at a game. We're talking about temperature checks and tests. I mean, you go to Walmart and the grocery store every day, right?
What would
be the difference of those people going to work as opposed to the NBA players going to work?
Well, with the exception of the workers at Walmart, and almost the majority, at least in our area, most of us are wearing masks, and some people are wearing mask gloves and actually suits going into the grocery store. And I don't know how it is in other parts of the country because we're not traveling now. But that's how it is now with us because our governor's trying to keep things really low and slow everything down. But you're right. I mean, if I were going to a grocery store without a mask and everybody else is and it's just like normal and they don't have the plexiglass in front of their, cash registers and things like that, it would be like it's going to be in the NBA. If they come back, because in the NBA, there's not going to be plexiglass in between these players. They're not going to be wearing masks. They're going to be body-body, sweating on each other, all this other stuff. And it will be horrible if one of these guys brings something back to their team or their family and, someone adds to some of these horrible statistics that we have right now with this pandemic.
I'm with you on that. I mean, that would be horrible. That's not something that we want to see happen. I'm definitely with you on that point. But I think if you take the necessary precautions, you're constantly testing the players, you're doing temperature checks on a daily basis, I think you take all the necessary safety precautions. Obviously, you're talking about coming back with no fans. I think you just have to take those you take all the necessary precautionary measures to move forward. And obviously, they postponed their season in mid-March. So we're going on 2.5 months since the league has been postponed. And we probably won't be seeing them play until July. So you're talking about 3, 4, possibly 4.5 months before you actually see them come back. So I think they're doing all their homework and trying to make sure they come back from taking every safety precautionary measure as possible.
Well, let me throw this onto it because I read a piece of it where Adam Silver said that in any instance for them to come back that they cannot say if we get one positive testing, we shut down again. And that to me was a really powerful statement that if he got the players to buy into that, they said, we're going to assume the risk and know that we're going to go through all the precautions that you guys have just said, but know that we're probably going to get a positive test here and there, and we're going to keep moving. That to me was powerful. And if the players agree to that, then they're assuming some of that risk, and we'll see if they actually do that. But the other piece of it, too, and to the play-in piece, is why I'm against it. So if you say that, we got these top six teams locked in both conferences and we're going to let the 7 and 8 through 12 or 15 or whatever, 12 play, 15 play in each conference get in, now you're giving those guys an extra chance to get up to speed and get straight into playoff kind of basketball in this knockout tournament, and then they get to go see the first, number one and the two seeds. The one and the two seeds don't want that. They're sitting there, you might be in training camp and trying to get your win together, but these dudes is out here playing for their playoff lives.
you know, like it's an NCAA tournament, and now you got to see
that's
them in
what
the
makes
first
it
round.
Awesome.
And they, and
that's what makes
but
it
they
awesome.
But now they've got to jump on you though, because you haven't been playing for your life. You were locked in already, and we gave you a pass. And that's just not me as a Lakers fan. It's just me looking at it from an NBA standpoint. You got those 7 and 8 seeds. You're giving them a head start to go ahead and get into playoff basketball mode. And now you want these 1 and 2 seeds to jump into it and be at the level that they're on and say, go get it. You're putting the 1 and 2 seeds at a disadvantage. And what's the point of working all this time to get those 1 and 2 seeds just to be at a disadvantage when the playoffs start?
Well, I mean, that's like a very valid point. And I think if you do go to play-in option, those teams got to keep playing some kind of way. I don't know if that means those six or so teams in each conference that are already going, they somehow just play some regular games until just as warm-up kind of thing to get going. Or, you know, I said it earlier, my preference would be for them to finish the entire regular season. Everybody.
Agreed.
That would be obviously my
preference.
But you're right. If you do go to play-in option, those teams that are who are already guaranteed the top six spots, give them some kind of way to play basketball, whether that is against the other five teams in the playoffs, you know, I don't know if you, whatever we want to call them, warm-up games, or even some of the teams that's already eliminated from the playoffs, you know, kind of include them in a mix too, or something like that. But ideally, my preference would be, hey, let's finish the regular season, and we have a true playoff.
I agree.
I think the bottom line is that no one has ever dealt with this pandemic before. So that's the reality of the situation too. There's a lot of good points on both sides. Everyone's going to have an opinion on this too. And I know I'm definitely trying to egg on you guys too, but it's some things to definitely think about from that perspective too, because, you know, as Sherry mentioned, you know, you have this opportunity for people that have been playing that have been on the sidelines, and now everyone's rusty, you're trying to get up to speed real fast. That's a disadvantage for everyone. But then it's like, how bad do we want basketball back? I mean, everyone says you should definitely come first, right? You got people that are rusty. You got people that can get hurt. I mean, just for what? Just for opportunity to I mean, we want sports back bad, but, you know, we got to think of the whole big picture. No one has ever experienced this before. So I think that's something to definitely keep in mind. Yes, I'd love to have this, but we really got to understand the gravity of the situation too. And that's what I think. Again, I think Adam Silver is looking at that to just say, hey, let's make sure this is this going to be good. Is this situation going to happen? There's a lot of things that are unknown. So from that perspective, again, you have to take that into consideration. Now, again, one side of me would love to have the situation to have some excitement, to have a situation where, yes, there's a team that was no way in hell they're going to actually get a chance to be, you know, in the playoffs. Now they're here. And they're hell yeah, they're going to take down the Lakers. They want opportunity. You were the best team. Yeah, let's go for it. You know, and again, if the Lakers, you know, this is an opportunity to prove that you are the best team. You know, again, everyone's on that level playing field in that situation too. Now, y'all, you can't just like lollygag into the playoffs. Now it becomes more exciting because you have this squad that's hungry. And I think that's a great opportunity if you want to go down that path to have great basketball. You can watch that. It was already great before, but now this adds another level to it. So that said, that's why I see that's exciting from that perspective. It's like, man, this squad didn't even have a chance to even beat. Now they're here. Okay, let's go. You know what I'm saying? So that makes it more exciting from that perspective, not who you thought it was going to be. So that's just from my perspective. And going back to what Sherry said too, again, you are 1,000% right. It was what Damian Lillard said, not the Blazers. But, again, he did say that he is obviously in position to be there for his squad. So we're not throwing him under the bus. It was just a realistic statement that he was basically saying, hey, guys, you know, again, it's going to suck if not get the playoffs. And then we fought, and then it's not here. So just there's a lot of things that he said about that too. I definitely want to make sure that it's not attacking Damian. It's more or less just to understand where he was coming from that perspective too. So that's all I was saying on that front too. So, again, we've never dealt with this before. So we're all in new ground, you know. So
and keep in mind, they're not just going to come back and play basketball. These teams are going to have – a semi-training camp to get ready to play games again, just like you would in any other sport. Even when football comes back, they're going to have a training camp. So, I mean, they're not just going to throw these guys out there and just start playing games. They're going to prepare. They're going to practice. They're going to get ready, get through another training camp to get ready to start the season, just like they would, you know, any other type of season, too, well, any other type of league. So I don't think we're just throwing the guys out there just to play games.
Yeah, I hope not.
Good, Good call. Like I said, again, everyone's going to have nice opinions on that as well. Hey, Rob, let's go ahead and get to your 2020 mock draft, if you will.
All right, first edition of the NBA. I'll just go over a few of the big names. Won't go over the whole draft. It is posted on the page. If y'all got any questions on it or want to comment on it. But obviously, excuse me, obviously the star of the draft is Anthony Edwards, shooting guard for Georgia. Obviously was a one-man show at Georgia. Didn't have much around him. An athletic freak, a scorer. Got him going number one right now to Golden State. And I know you say right now, hey, you got Klay Thompson, you got Steph Curry. Hey, there's been other teams in the league. I think a lot of teams are playing positionless basketball right now. And he's the best player. You know, James Wiseman could be a guy. You look at if you're Golden State, he's 7 feet with a 7'6" wingspan, could play the center position, a position Golden State could really use as well. But Anthony Edwards is the best player in the draft. And like I said, the NBA is really, and basketball in general, is really becoming positionless. You go with the best player. And obviously these drafts, obviously the draft order is not finalized yet based on games, based on NBA lottery. But this is just a projected order based on where they left off at, left off the season. So got Anthony Edwards going number one. Number two, Cleveland, Obi Toppin. Athletic wingman from Dayton, of all places, 6'9", 220 pounds. What's wrong?
I'm sorry. Yeah, of all places. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, from Dayton. I think, he's from New York originally, but, yeah, playing college ball in Dayton. And, man, the Dayton Flyers have been having a heck of a season before the college basketball season got canceled. You're talking about a team that had a chance to really make a run in the tournament. 6'9", 220 pounds, an athletic freak, came out of nowhere, have him going to Cleveland. And with those two guards that Cleveland got right now, could be building something there if they ever get their hands on them. Number three, LaMelo Ball, Lonzo Ball's younger brother, point guard, 6'6". He's still growing, too, I believe. Still not a great scorer. But kind of like his brother, I mean, Lonzo was really coming on prior to the pandemic as far as running the show.
Part two.
And LaMelo, you know, had that opportunity to be a real floor general as well. So that's what you're looking at with LaMelo. We talked about James Wiseman a little while ago, center from Memphis, having gone number four to Atlanta. Like I said, 7'6". He's got a he's 7 feet, but he got a 7'6" wingspan, too. You know, obviously he got to a situation, he didn't get to finish the whole season. But from an NBA perspective, you know, a real true prospect coming out. Just some other highlight players I'm going to mention here. Tyrese Haliburton, point guard from Iowa State. Have him going number 10 to Phoenix right now. Not really a great athlete, but a really smart basketball player, distributing the basketball. You know, obviously not as quick as you would like, but he's really smart with the basketball, real high basketball IQ. You saw him perform really well at Iowa State. And so I have him going number 10 to Phoenix. Cole Anthony, point guard from North Carolina. Obviously, North Carolina had a real down year for them, and he had to score a lot. And so that's going to be the question. You know, can he really be a floor general as well? Because at Carolina, he was really the only weapon, so he really had to score the basketball a lot. About 6'2", 6'3". I am going number 12 to Sacramento. And my New Orleans Pelicans at 13, man, kind of scares me to be put the draft in a player with the first name Precious. But Precious Achiuwu, the power forward from Memphis, another guy. JQ, man, you messing me up, man. Well, that scares you a little bit, though.
It's not good. It's not
my
good.
Friends, my name is Mike, but my friends call me Delicious. I'm sorry, bro. I'm going to go ahead.
But Precious, he's 6'9". He's strong. He can run the floor. Really good athlete. A guy with a lot of potential and a lot of upside here. I am going 13 to my Pelicans. And I know we got a lot of Portland Blazer fans on the phone. I have Portland at 14 taking Vernon Carey, big man from Duke. 6'10", probably going to play the power forward and the center position. Another guy with a lot of upside there as well. Sadiq Bey, small forward from Villanova, is another guy that can run like a deer. He can defend. Really growing inside game. Probably one of the better swing mans in this draft. I am going number 17 to Boston. Like I said, I'm just skipping around to some of the big name players. Nico Mannion, point guard from Arizona. I am going to New York at 25. Trey Jones, point guard from Duke. I am going 26 to Boston. And I know we got a Laker fan on the call, so I'll go ahead and mention their pick at 29. Big man from Greece, 7 feet tall, barely 200 pounds. But, man, he's very skilled. He's probably not going to be a true center. But Alexi Pokusevsic, a center from Greece, like I said, 7 feet tall. If you can imagine that, 7 feet tall, and he's barely 200 pounds. So definitely a guy that's going to be somewhat of a project. But he's got the skills down as far as handling the basketball, shooting the basketball. Definitely would have to get stronger if he's going to be a rebounder and defender and playing the paint. But he's probably a 7 foot guy that you're probably going to see playing in the perimeter. So I have him going 29 to the Lakers.
Hold on. Let me really quickly, JT. For the love of God, there's any way there's a frozen envelope, Anthony Edwards has to come and stay with the Hawks. If I'm just saying, for the love of God, NBA, y'all got to make that crap happen, man. It has to
they don't
Cleveland.
Care about the Hawks.
Shut it up.
I don't care about the damn Hawks. Yeah, do that for New York. They ain't gonna do that for Atlanta.
Shut it up, JQ. This is the one time, man. This
and
is
who's
the one
your team,
time.
Man? I was going to state. I got to go to state number one.
This is the one time. This is the one time that I am going to actually hope and pray that NBA, y'all better get this ish right, man. One time. Y'all screwed us with Dwight Howard. We got him like later on. He was not the show of himself. Y'all screwed us a lot of times. We have not had the number one pick since 1970 wow. F5. We had freaking Dr. J. Got him. Didn't get
that. That was you was born on, right? That was your birthday gift.
Shut it up. The one time, NBA, we need this. We need this to happen. If there's a frozen envelope somewhere, Anthony Edwards better come to the Hawks. I'm just saying
that. It sounds like you're condoning cheap, man. That's not right.
Shut it up.
Come on, man. Listen.
I want to hear it.
The Hawks
Shut it up.
Are not the Knicks. That's not going to happen. I'm only going to say one thing about
you
all of that, and I get
that.
It for the Lakers because, you know, Dwight Howard and that other fool, JaVale McGee, are not the long-term answer, so I can see them doing that. But if anybody is dumb enough to draft a ball kid with the circus that comes along with that, then you're an idiot, and you deserve to get everything that comes to you. I don't care if LaMelo can wake up in the morning and drop 60 in his draws. Guess what? I don't want nothing to do with LaVar Ball and nothing he has going to bring to my team. That circus of having to deal with LaVar Ball as a Lakers fan that went through that, I wouldn't wish that on another franchise except for maybe Boston, but – Why would you do that to yourself? Why?
Stay out of my life.
I don't think they can do that.
Obviously, he's a talent. We'll see what happens there, JQ. But, I mean, obviously that's a good point. But, you know, obviously somebody's going to take a chance on him.
And they're an idiot.
Talent, man.
And I'm going to say they're an idiot because why would you deal with that? I mean, listen, unless LaVar Ball is going to be secluded into Arkham with the Joker and Two-Face, listen, I'm not taking LiAngelo Ball on my team, bro. He is a cancer. His dad is a cancer. Forget how good his son can be. Can you imagine, again, you already saw what happened with LaMelo. Why would you do that again? I mean, I just don't understand
talent.
There's only so much talent. When she wakes up in the morning, is Michael Jordan incarnate? I'm not dealing with the Ball family, bro, at all. Anywhere in my organization, on my grounds, my PR people, none of it. I don't want no parts of that foolishness. Pass. Pass.
Right. Nothing but drama, man. Really,
oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! So West Coast, we got probably a little time before it's officially shut down. Do you guys have anything to say about the mock draft that Robert has put together for you? Thank you, Rob, as always.
No, I think you know, I'm not going to go against anything when it comes to these drafts with Robert. When we were going through the that NFL mock draft, and Curtis and I were watching the draft on TV. It's like I said before, Robert, he does the homework. He's absolutely spot on. Curtis, do you have anything to say on the draft?
Well, you know, let's get out of the pandemic. And if there's some money to be made, Rob, have the draft ready because we're going to enter them in Fox One Bet and ESPN Bet, and I'll pay for them. They're going in, and let's roll the dice.
Nice.
Let's take a prop bet on
right.
how long it
we
takes for the Ball
it.
Family to blow up a franchise under one season is the over-under.
Yeah, that's right.
Damn fool to take
do.
A damn Ball Family. Yeah, that's
yeah.
– listen, on no,
you're,
on you're no days will I draft anybody
with
last name Ball.
Did you guys hear Doc Rivers' all-time starting five?
What?
What's Doc Rivers' all-time starting five?
All right, so his forwards, LeBron James and Tim Duncan. His center, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and his guards, Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. How y'all feel about
five.
That?
I mean,
that's
strong.
That's about it. Although – He doesn't have Havlicek in there. He doesn't have Bill Russell in there.
Who you going to put Havlicek over?
Yeah, no, not Havlicek. What about Shaq?
Havlicek got 8 championships. I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't put him over LeBron.
but remember, Curtis, we do respect our elders in that instance, too. Same thing that someone was talking about Bill Russell. You know, having the 13 championships. And you got to think about who did those squads play against? Again, they weren't, I don't think they were playing against the competition that, there's no
yeah,
shame.
Yeah, they were just playing against Will Chamberlain.
You're not going to take
Wilt
him
Chamberlain,
over Magic and Michael?
There was only one or two Will Chamberlain, though. But I'm saying, there's only one Will Chamberlain. He wasn't, like, playing against.
Wait.
I mean.
Over Magic and Michael? You're not taking John Havlicek on no days over Magic and Michael in your backcourt. Like, I respect John Havlicek's game. But there's nobody that picks him over those two.
No, you're not going to put him in. I know he played a lot of small forward in his day. You're not going to put him over LeBron and Tim Duncan either.
No.
Okay, so Rob, come up with a team that could compete against them.
Shucks, I don't know if you can.
you definitely can.
You still got Larry Bird out there.
I can compete maybe, but you ain't going to beat him.
Kobe, Shaq.
Akeem Olajuwon. You know, you've got.
Y'all better put some respect on his name.
Patrick Ewing. You've got a lot. Charles Barkley. You can put up a team.
Arguably, I mean, he's got the best player of all time in Michael Jordan. He's got the second best player of all time in LeBron James. And I got Tim Duncan and Magic Johnson has been in the top five. I mean, you can make a case of Kareem being right up there. So, I mean, yeah, you can probably put a team together that can compete with them, but beat them on a regular basis or beat them in a series,
that's going to be tough.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be real tough. It's going to be, yeah, I mean, you got Kobe at the two guard, but he's not going to win that matchup over Jordan. Yeah, Shaq can compete with Kareem. Will Chamberlain can compete with Kareem. So you might can get a center that can go neck and neck. At the power forward position, who's next?
What about
Carmelo? Carmelo, maybe Kevin Garnett. But you got to give Duncan the edge there. And Larry Bird, a small forward, I still give the edge to LeBron. But I know that's our music, people. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another live edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed our debates. That's what Sports Talk is all about. We're going to be back to our normal night on Wednesday night next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to having you. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we we can't bring this portion of the show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show, and you hear more trash talk and sports talk from us. Good night, people.
Yeah, and if you draft the ball, you're an idiot, and you get everything that comes to you. I'm going to call you an idiot every time I see you. So that's there. Hey, I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. And we all see
that
week.
That must be what they think about Cam Newton coming up. Yeah, I think they must be thinking the same thing about Cam Newton. We'll be talking about that in the OC. Because I don't know if they want the drama in their locker room in the NFL with Cam.
So, Rob, were you
really saying that they don't want to draft a quarterback to come to the press conference with a scarf on?
Oh, my God. Like your auntie picking you up at the school. Like, come on, man. You can't look like my auntie.
We're looking at this Super Bowl, bro.
Bodyguard.
Listen to this, you guys. And I was looking at the 77 Dallas Cowboys against the Denver Broncos. And
okay.
I'm reading through the article, and off to the side of it, it had the ticket price for the Super Bowl. Guess what the ticket price was for the Super Bowl in 77?
$50.
Wow. The game was played in New Orleans, too.
$30.
$30?
Wow.
Crazy. Wow.
You know what?
Yeah.
We need some sports, because if you
that
look at the ticket price
how long
for the 77
Super Bowl. The Cowboys have been irrelevant.
No. Oh, see.
Oh, my God. Oh,
hey.
What?
Hey, Rob. As we talk to the TV podcast, what's our featured topic every week? We're relevant every week. We're relevant every year. And if you're on Zoom next week, you're going to see we're America's team. That's what. Let's zoom it up this next week. We got a little surprise for you guys.
We need some sports.
You set yourself up for that one, Gary.
Yeah, we need some sports. If you at home look at the ticket prices for the 77 Super Bowl, then we are officially bored as a sports nation.
Okay, we're bored. We're bored. Okay. I'll give you that.
That was good fodder for the show. Go ahead. I love it.
I was only one at the time.
I was zero.
Oh, man.
I wasn't lying.
I lie, don't care who tells it.
Oh, my God.
That's 77, baby, so I was zero.
I would say something else, but I'm not going to.
It's funny. Gary didn't get it on point. We do talk about the Cowboys every week, and I don't know if that's Rob trying to indulge you guys just to talk about the Cowboys, but it is funny how it is on the show pretty much every week, too, so we'll have to get some more details as far as
I know
that.
Everybody's always talking about the Cowboys. I give you that. That's because you got yourself, the people that love them, and then you got a lot of people that hate them.
I don't know if it's hate
it.
Or if it's jealousy or what, but whatever, you know.
They got a lot of teams that went 5-11 wish they were going 8-8 like the Cowboys.
Oh,
once he brings us on, you're going to go from the you're going right back to 8.
Oh, my
and guess what, Rob?
Keep it going.
The Cowboys have never had a name like that. The only name that the Cowboys have ever had
was Cowgirls.
America's team, baby.
I knew he was going to sit there. Yeah, wow.
That's right,
man.
America's team. Don't hate on America right now. We're in a pandemic.
Oh,
goodness. Hate on America.
Clearly going off the rails. Hey, so let's get these last couple of topics in because, again, we try to respect the time for the East Coasters here. And we've got a lot of topics. So, again, I'd like to say some of these. I know, Rob, you did a good job of putting them together. So I know – sometimes we don't get a chance to get to all the topics. We had a very interesting show. Obviously, we thank Sherry and Michael for jumping on as well, too. So we appreciate you guys adding some great color to the show.
Yeah, thank you all again for joining us.
Again, feel free to come back. So, again, I'm going to let you guys talk about some topics you want to talk about, and then whatever we don't get a chance to discuss, we can definitely put on next week if you'd like, Rob, too, because, again, you know, we've got some time to discuss things. There are some questions about a couple of free agents, about Cam Newton. Will he be a starting quarterback in 2020? I'll probably go ahead and say no with that. But, you know, again, that's what we're looking at right now. And Cam, maybe it's time for him to prove what's happening because due to the pandemic. We got to figure out where Jadeveon Clowney is going to land. We got to figure out what the hell heck is happening to Ezekiel Elliott. Is he past his prime already? Those are good things to discuss. And then obviously, and then that's what the topic says, JQ. And then, you know, how are we going to project Baker Mayfield? Because again, you know, we talk about Cleveland and we all like to hate on them. They supposedly they did a fantastic job with the draft, and Myles Garrett did look like he was coming to his own before he went a little crazy with that one incident. So again, there's definitely a lot of interesting storylines that happen that's going to happen with the season. So, again, I'll throw that to Rob. And then, again, JQ and West Coast, we guys can kind of, like, have a nice little wrapping this up as we get ready to have another great edition of Talk to Work the 12th Man coming to an end. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, talking about Jadeveon Clowney, you know, obviously Cleveland gave him quite an offer. And, you know, very surprised that he turned it down. Not sure what he has up his sleeve. But, man, you know, he could have joined that team
Cleveland
with well, yeah, I guess so.
That's dumb. He could have been with Myles Garrett. That's not really a good decision.
That's all I was about to say. You know, putting him next to Myles Garrett and all the defensive acquisitions they've got with Grant Delpit, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, and some of the players that they picked up on that defensive side of the ball. I mean, they had got a chance there. When you look at their roster, you know, I firmly believe that as of right now, I think they'll be the second-best team in the AFC North. So very surprised he turned down that deal. And it's going to be very intriguing, you know, where he goes. You know, hey, the Saints got about $10 million of cap space. See what we can do, Saints. Try to bring him down. Bring him down to the Big Easy. Another pass rusher. But, you know, it's going to be very intriguing to see where he goes here. And because Cleveland gave him, you know, in my opinion, a very good offer. And very surprised that he's still a free agent here. And we're knocking on June here. So that's going to be one to watch here. Cam Newton, I think it's safe to say he won't be a starting quarterback here in 2020 starting this season. But I do think at some point in 2020 he's going to help a ball club. And, you know, somebody's going to need a quarterback, and they're going to come calling, whether he signs before the season or somebody's backup. But I think at some point he comes in as a pinch hitter and helps the team, you know, either keep them alive. Once teams can realize he's going to be healthy and, you know, give him a shot to be a starter or fill in for someone if someone gets hurt, I do think at some point this season I project him as helping some team, but I don't envision him being a starter opening day this coming season. And then, you know, obviously we talked about Zeke Elliott is past his prime. No, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I'm not dumb. I mean, I think he's still one of the top five running backs in the game as far as running the football and being a pass catcher out of the backfield. So definitely I think he's still got a lot left, and, you know, a lot of times running backs start to wear and tear a little early. But I still think he's in his prime right there in the thick of things, you know, here upcoming for the season. So those are just some of the topics, and maybe I'll leave some of the rest of the topics to JQ and the West Coast crew.
Yeah, well, I was just going to cover some of them because I think those are the ones that are more poignant at this point. I don't think Cam Newton is going to be a starting quarterback in 2020. Unless something drastic happens. But I think in 2021, teams that were sold on a particular person as their starting quarterback are going to come back down to earth and realize the person they thought they were getting a starting quarterback, and I'm looking at you, Jacksonville, with Gardner Minshew, are going to say, you know what, Cam now has a whole year to get recuperated and the rest and have a chip on his shoulder. Yeah, I'm going to dip into the Cam Newton pool. So I think that happens in 2021, but I don't think it happens in 2020. So I agree with that. I don't think he's a starting quarterback, but that might be the best thing for him. To get that chip on his shoulder, to rehab, to get fully healthy, and come back and show the people what he can do. Clowney, if I'm Clowney, I'm looking at it. You know, sometimes you just gotta stay with the team and the girl you know best, and that's Seattle. And I think he goes back there. because if you look at it in terms of the NFC, they may or may not win that division because I think San Francisco will still be strong. But you're looking at the NFC North, I think they only get one team in. The NFC South, I think, gets two teams in with the Saints and the Bucks. And you look at the NFC East, and it's probably just the Cowboys and maybe the Eagles. And now we're going to three wild cards. I think in the NFC, once you get past that first couple of tiers, they have the opportunity to sneak in with that home field advantage with Russell Wilson, and he's going to look up and say, you know what, yeah, this might be my best bet to get into it. And it might be an indictment on the way players feel about Baker Mayfield. You talk about what Cleveland offered him. He said, yeah, you got all these weapons and all this on offense, but if I don't believe in Baker Mayfield as a quarterback, then where am I really going to go there to be disappointed and not make the playoffs when I can stay with Russell Wilson, who's a Super Bowl winner, and he should have two. And I got a better chance to make the playoffs that way. I'm going to stay there. And as far as Ezekiel Elliott goes, you know how I feel about Ezekiel Elliott. I'm a full-blown Ohio State homer, and I own it, and I love it. And, no, he's not past his prime. I just think the distractions of last year and the holdout and all that, putting behind an A-ball, he just didn't recover from it. I think this year, you know, with a full, you know, I know the pandemic, but having already gotten paid, having all that behind you, the ability to say, you know what, I got my money, I'm going to be here. When we get back together, I'm going to be here. The questions are no longer about me. They're about that other guy. They're talking about Dak now, so I can go about my business and not have to worry about these distractions for myself personally. I think you get a bounce back season from Ezekiel Elliott. I really do.
Yeah. And I think Seattle, to be personally honest, I think they're the favorite to win the NFC West this coming year. I like a lot of the moves they made in free agency. Some of the moves they made in the draft, not all of them, but I think one area in particular they went out to improve was that offensive line. And they made some more defensive reinforcements this year, and I think it's going to be real helpful to a Pete Carroll. I think they leapfrog San Francisco in that division. I think San Francisco is definitely still a playoff team or in playoff contention, but I think they take a slight step down this year, San Francisco, and I think Seattle. So, I mean, that's a good point about Clowney. You know, he goes back to Seattle. I mean, I think they got a real strong chance to win that division this year. And watch Arizona. Their team, they could be a sleeper while possibly getting in the seventh spot or eighth, ninth, or just missing the playoffs, too. I look for them to be a team that improves a lot this year out in that NFC West. Yeah, I really do.
Agreed.
And, I mean, you talked about Baker Mayfield there, too. I really think he's going to improve this year. I think Kevin, I'm missing his name.
Stefanski?
Stanowski or something like that, I believe his name is. But I really think he's going to show some improvement with him. Kevin is not going to put up with his junk either. So he's going to make sure that he's progressing. So I look for Baker to have a better season this year. I don't think he'll be a Pro Bowler by any means, but I look for him to be a little bit more efficient, to show some improvement in his game. And Cleveland, I think, will be second in the AFC North with a chance to knock in as a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing I'd like to touch base on a couple of those topics real quick. Number one, Cam Newton, it's going to have to be a tragedy for him to play. He may not even be picked up by a team, but if he is picked up by a team, it's going to have to be some starting quarterback going down this year. As far as Cincinnati and Baker Mayfield, just like I told you guys last year,
Cleveland,
he's that guy that wins the lottery and blows all of his money and is flat broke. That's what they are. That's what Cincinnati is. Now he just won another lottery this year.
That's Cleveland. That's not Cincinnati. That's Cleveland. Don't
Cleveland.
You confuse us.
Cincinnati. Okay. Yeah, Cincinnati's going to win it all. Cincinnati's going to win it all. I'm sorry. I will say about Ezekiel Elliott, doesn't he play for the
Americans?
Yeah, he plays for Americans. He's not what's that. He's in the prime of his career. You had a center that went down. You had offensive line trouble. The guy still gets, you know, 1,350 yards, you know, on the ground and another 300 or 400 yards in the air. He's still one of the top backs in the league. And he'll prove it this year. I do apologize about Baker Mayfield thing. I'd like to apologize. They're gonna win everything. They're gonna win 12 games this year.
I bet y'all. I bet Dallas Cowboy fans believe Danny White is a Hall of Famer too, don't you?
I don't believe Danny White's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I have him on my wall, bro.
But I do believe Roger Staubach was the original GOAT. That's what I will say.
Roger Staubach is from, right?
And I will say, and I'm wearing my Roger Staubach jersey right now.
Cincinnati,
let me tell you something about Roger Staubach. Class act. He's the richest NFL player right now.
I can see that.
You know,
I can see that.
Smart, Heisman Trophy winner, war hero, Super Bowl hero. Nobody's got that resume.
Cincinnati, same high school as my brother.
Guess
my brother
who said
went to
that?
Same high school he went to.
Joe Montana.
I'm not going to argue with your Roger Staubach.
That's who he looked up to, Roger Staubach.
Wow.
Yeah, that's in the past.
With the Navy.
That's in the past.
Navy, right?
But it's like whether it's 2009 or, you know, 2020 or it's, you know, 1996, when your team wins, you never forget it. It's like it was yesterday.
Right?
Right?
It was like yesterday.
And guess what America's team is built like? America's team... They got the footprint. All they got to do is turn into those Cowboy teams with Emmitt Smith. Have that line maul team, eat up clock, and Ezekiel Elliott for the next 3 to 4 years. There should be no doubt that Ezekiel Elliott will be the best rusher, the best line, and the best offenses in the next 4 years. They got the blueprint. That team can be the same team that Emmitt Smith had when they were running through the NFL with Troy Aikman and Neon Dion.
Michael Irvin.
They got that same footprint. They got that same footprint. All they got to do is do that. And with Ezekiel being their focus on making sure that guy's getting 150 yards every single game they play.
They stand up, baby.
If Damian Clowney goes back to the Seattle Seahawks, they will win. If he goes and puts his head on right and wants to play, they will win this West out here with Russell Wilson. I think Clowney take that first game in San Francisco when they beat San Francisco. That was all Jamie and Clowney scaring that young kid down there to death. They won that game. Arizona's going to be a team to watch, you guys. Arizona's going to have a really good team. They're going to be a team to watch. The 49ers, this NFC West is going to be a dogfight. There's four teams in this West that I think they're going into the season thinking that the Rams think they can win this division. The 49ers think they can win the division. The Seahawks think they can win the division. And Arizona thinks they can beat all three of those teams. So it's going to be a dogfight in this West, and I think Seattle's going to come out of that. And Baker Mayfield, I like what he's saying, but, you know, I don't care what you tell me. With time always comes out with the truth. So you can tell me you love me, but – you know, a month from now, what are you going to be telling me? And that's with Baker, let's see it, Baker. Keep your mouth shut, focus, and get it done because you don't have no excuses, and he's coming up on a contract.
Wow.
Fuck Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
He put the damn flag on the Ohio Stadium. Fuck him, and I hope he can never
see it. Oh, wow. We're definitely past the time, man. What?
My bad.
Well, we're on the
no, it's all
Hey, how you really feel, JQ?
Hey, look, I said it, and I own it.
Anyway, man, well, on that note, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up, man. That's, yeah. Again, we appreciate you guys joining in. Yeah, it's been a great show. It's probably one of the funnest shows I've had because, again, we came out with a bang. I wish that Naj would have added his color to the show, too, but that would have been too many people to keep up with, too. But, again, guys, you guys have been amazing. Again, Mike, sure, thank you for joining us. Please, we hope you guys join us again next week. I think we're going to have Zoom. We'll see how that plays out. I don't want to get to the fellas because they're probably sick of Zoom calls, but it is good to definitely showcase your jerseys and have a good time talking and seeing you guys and all the fun stuff, too. So, again, we appreciate that. Rob, you want to wrap this up again as we, again, sign off on episode 161, if you will.
All right. Thank you. And thank you again, Mike and Sherry, for joining us. It was a lot of fun talking sports with you all. Hopefully we'll hear from you guys again soon. And next week we're going to be back on Wednesday night on our normal night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends down in Hawaii, aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. We look forward to hearing from you from the island as well on next Wednesday night. Obviously, we're going to be talking more to sports world. We'll see if we get more updates for when some sports leagues are returning. We're getting some updates from NFL and college football, where it looks like they're going to be playing at 25%. You know, some stadiums between 13,000 and 30,000 people, possibly. So we're getting more updates as we get closer to these leagues coming back. And so we hope to have that information too. Share with you all as well. So once again, next Wednesday night, you don't want to miss it, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll see you and hear from you next week. We'll be on Zoom as well. Good night, people.
Yeah,
we'll work on our golf game all week, and we'll talk about golf. And we'll have some dots about the Belmont in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm out here with my 5-iron in the yard while I talk to y'all because I'm an addict. But I'm sorry, folks, for the F-bomb. But I hate Baker Mayfield, and I'm from Cincinnati, and I know I'm a Bengals fan, and I also hate the Browns. So him going to the Browns is just a perfect storm for me, just to full-blown hate on them any chance I get. So I'm apologizing. I'm not really sorry. I just should have used another term instead of the F-bomb. But, you know, that's where I am with mine. So I appreciate y'all listening to the show. Give me any feedback, comments. I know I hear from the Browns fans and whatnot. Y'all still suck, and I still hate y'all, but it's all good. Please listen to the show and call in, and I'll holler at y'all next week.
How do people from Ohio State treat Baker Mayfield in Cleveland?
Oh, my God.
They hate that dad. They wait on him to fail so they can turn on him.
Okay, next week, Curtis wants to do some more ranting about the Patriots. Well, I hate the Patriots. I don't hate any individual player, but the Patriots is just, they've done too much cheating for me. And who can like them? Who can like a cheater?
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Who likes a cheater? Yeah, who likes a thief?
Wow.
And, you know, the boy in his flop house, like I said, you know, I think his wife, but, you know, Tommy woke him up in the bed. Tommy, you know Robert Kraft is paying those people down in Miami, those women, more than they're paying you? God.
All right. Good night, folks.
Yeah, Tommy had to say goodbye.
Wow.
Right, folks,
and next week, we want to get to our NFL South predictions by me and Rob. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Super Bowl predictions. Guys, have a great week. Please be safe. Seriously, guys, please be safe as you guys make your way out. Good night.
Be safe out there, people.